Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Jody E. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, March 20th, 2025, the first day of spring. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we are on page 84, the third and last paragraph on the page. Today's readers are Kara L. on the 12 steps, Cheryl S. will read the 12 traditions, Margaret D. will read the text for us, and Elaine B. will read our closing. The reference numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, that would be March 19th, is 22,267. 22267. And this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,273. 22273. Our newcomer greeter is Chanel T. So if you're new, please stay on to the end of the meeting to be greeted by Chanel. And Leslie M. will share announcements with us. The following is the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own voluntary contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. This is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Kara L. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, this is Kara L. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except for when to do so and would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry the message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs.
Jody, I think you're muted.
We can't hear you.
Oh, thank you so much. You're right, I was. Thank you so much, Kara L., and I will now ask Cheryl S. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Jody. This is Cheryl S., recovered compulsive overeater in Nevada. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Cheryl S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the BitBook of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing on what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 84, paragraph 3. I will now ask Margaret D. to read and share with us. Thank you, Margaret. Margaret, press star 1 to unmute.
Boy, what a difference star 1 makes, doesn't it? Hey, everybody, this is Margaret D. in Georgia. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. For by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we will recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will see that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude towards liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we had been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It doesn't exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. I don't know how anybody could discuss this paragraph in an hour or 5 hours or 6 weeks or whatever. It's just so packed. should go back a bit, excuse me, when how I experienced this in my life was exactly what it says. I quit running and I started listening. I became less terrified and I started listening. And it was like, as this paragraph says, it just comes. We will see that our new attitude towards compulsive eating or food has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. And, you know, and that's, I guess in a way that's kind of misleading. But actually it is so very true that as I just kept coming back, wow, there's so much in this paragraph. Let me start on a different tack here. So as I look back, I can see how groundless my fear of being known was, or being seen, or giving up. And when I first started, it was literally over a year before I had enough courage to introduce myself as a newcomer. And now, looking back after, I don't know, 8 or 9 years or however it is, I look and I see how terrified I was to take that one step. And I see that it was fear. Nothing happened when I gave my name. Nothing happened. You know, people didn't come to my door and knock and say, you have to be converted to writing with your right hand instead of your left hand. There was no major change that I had to do. I just, and again, it was happening to me, and the way that I was participating was I just wasn't fighting anymore. I was just sitting quietly listening, and I wasn't going, oh yeah, that's easy for them to say, or what do they know, or whatever else. That sentence about we're not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. I was just entranced by the spirituality and the humor and the love that the people in the program had when they would share. And it was something so new to me that just fascinated me. And I didn't swear off a lot of things. I just thought, I want what they have. I want to be happy like they are.
Gentle reminder.
Okay, and I'll wrap it up. So we are neither cocky nor are we afraid. I was just entranced with this new way of living. And that, I think that's all of our experience. As we just, you know, keep our hands in our pockets and stop fighting, it just comes, and that is the miracle of it. So with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Margaret D. Now take a list of people who would like to share on this very packed, indeed, paragraph. But before I do, I'll remind everyone that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day, in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, please hold off. Who would like to share?
Sylvia F.
Sandy K.
Mitris J. from Michigan.
Sandy K. Mitris J.
Juanice N. California.
Tina W., New Jersey.
I didn't get your first name from New
Tina,
Jersey.
Tina, T-I-N-A.
Okay, great. Let's start with those five. Sylvia, Sandy, Mitris, Juanice, and Tina. Please go ahead, Sylvia.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your service. To get on the meeting this morning and to have this paragraph is like, wow. Oh, this is Sylvia F., recovered in Portland, Oregon. I'm very grateful to be here with all of you and very grateful to be abstinent and in recovery. And there is so much here, so I'm just going to tackle a little bit. What a promise. What a promise. And this promise is twofold. It says that we have to be, I have to be abstinent, and then I have to be in fit spiritual condition. And my experience coming back from a relapse, boy, it has become so clear that if I am not abstinent, I can't think clearly. I can't have a relationship with others, and I can't have a relationship with God if I'm in the food. So I got to put that down, and then I have to work the steps and connect with power greater than myself, however I'm going to do that. But this promise about we are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected, and that's where I am right now. When I came into program and I saw people who had been abstinent for a long time, I didn't believe them. I didn't think that, I thought that they were not white knuckling. I thought, or I saw people who weren't in program and weren't overeating, and I thought that they just had more self-control. I didn't realize that it has been removed. And how does it happen? It doesn't matter. Work the steps, follow the directions, pray, meditate, one step at a time, one foot behind the other, does not matter. I had to quit questioning it because it's been removed. And today was my day to weigh. I got on the scale, and my weight is probably, I probably haven't weighed this since high school, and I didn't do it. And that, I know a lot of you have described it as like, how does this happen? I don't know. Does it matter? Work the steps. Work with the sponsor, talk to others, carry the message, have a contact with a power greater than myself. You just keep on working it, and don't, for me, I had to quit thinking. Follow directions, quit thinking, surrender, and without a pass.
Thank you so much. Sylvia S. from Oregon. Sandy K., where are you calling
Thank
from?
Thank you. Thank you. This is Sandy Kay calling from Florida. I am recovered compulsive overeater. I always like to say recovered, not cured, but so far recovered for today. When the paragraph was first read, I was thinking, yeah, I really have nothing to share about this, but I really do. Two things. Number one, I remember I was abstinent for about 6 months, and was my son's birthday party, and I was cutting his cake, and some of it went on my finger. And you know where it says recoil like your fingers on a hot stove? I ran into the kitchen and washed my hands. I mean, that's how... just following direction, how upset I was that was on my finger, and knowing that I could lick it off. And I did, and so by the grace of God. The other thing I wanted to share, which is today really the most important thing in my life, is my conscious contact with my higher power. And because I need that fit spiritual condition in order to have that drive for me to run into the kitchen. I may not have to run anymore because I know I'm not going to eat it on a daily basis, but I could walk now. But if I don't meditate, I can get away without meditating for a day, but I cannot get away with not meditating for 2 days, because on the third day, food may not call to me yet, but my emotions, my mental well-being is just terrible. I need that conscious contact with my higher power. So that's one of the things I do first thing in the morning, is to make sure I am in a fit spiritual condition. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Sandy Kay from Florida. And Mitris, how do you spell your first name?
M-E-T-R-A-S.
Thank you. Beatrice J. from Michigan. Please go ahead.
You're so welcome. Thank you for your service. Very glad to be here. I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Michigan. I didn't used to say that. I used to didn't even believe that. Today I do. You know, they say don't quit before the miracle happens. Keep coming back. And the promises just read says it just comes. And that's what happened for me. A couple of weeks ago, I wasn't feeling recovered. It can come in a day. It can come in the next day. It can come in a week. It can come in a month. It can come in a year. It just comes. So I have to keep coming back and not quit before the miracle happens. And I feel the miracles have really been happening for me little by little. It's been a process, little by little, as I continue to come back. I feel a little better. I don't want to binge. My thinking becomes clear. I get a little healthier. What used to baffle me don't baffle me anymore. It's the promises. Some people say, like Bill W., you know, it came all at once for him. But sometimes it's a process. It's been a process for me. But each time that I have came back, I have been growing. Even if I have not seen it, but I see it now. I see it very clear that the promises is coming true for me. Each day. I know it. I feel it. I act different. I think different. The food is not as important to me as it used to be, that I have to have certain foods. And I can actually stop at certain foods that I couldn't before. Really, this is the honest truth. It just comes. So I would say, don't quit for the miracle happen, because it can happen today. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you for sharing. Beatrice J. from Michigan. Juani Sen, it's your turn.
Thank you, Miss Jody E. Good morning, everyone. My name is Juani, and I am recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, by a loving and powerful God. And I lived this paragraph, a part of this paragraph, before I even really saw and understood this paragraph. And when it says that we will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or any effort on our part, it just comes. Before I came and into A Vision for You and began to hear the message of the big book, the real message of the big book, that God could and would if he was sought. All of my attempts at recovering from compulsive overeating, my focus was always on, my thoughts and my efforts were always on following a food plan, was always on losing weight, was always on staying abstinent. That's what all my efforts and thoughts was on. Until finally I was able to hear this message that God could and would if he were sought. And at that point, I had a meal plan from a nutritionist that I really didn't think I was going to lose a pound on. And I didn't care. I said, okay, God, as long as I'm not gaining weight, I'm going to stay on this food plan. I am going to give every effort and thought that I got within me in seeking you through these steps and establishing a relationship with you, God, through these steps. That's my focus. That's where my effort, that's where my thoughts are going to go. And that's when the miracle happened. And it wasn't until 6 months, I was all, you know, celebrating 6 months, and I was sharing with a friend, a fellow on the phone, and it dawned on me, oh, my gosh, Juanice, you have been going in and out of your refrigerator. You have been going in and out of your pantry. You have been going in and out of your freezer, and I had not even seen the food that's in there for my grandchildren. It wasn't like I saw it and said, oh, that's not my food. You know, I had a whole new attitude toward compulsive eating. The problem had been removed. I didn't even see it. I said, it's like it just wasn't there. It didn't exist. And that was when I knew, oh, my God, that's what this paragraph is talking about. Well, part of it, you know, that my thoughts and efforts weren't on that stuff anymore. All of my thoughts and all of my efforts was on building a relationship with power, the God of my understanding, that can and will and did remove the obsession from me, remove the disease, not the disease, it's still there, we know that, but remove.
That's a reminder.
Okay, I'm sorry. That just gave me that new attitude toward compulsive eating, and I'm free, totally free of it. That's all. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you so much. Juanice N. from California. Tina W., please share with us.
Thank you. Tina W. here from South Jersey, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. This paragraph is my exit from the prison of the disease. It had legal rights on my life. Every chain that had linked to me to this disease has been broken off, and I've been released. This is my release date. The connections that kept me in this prison of the disease has been lifted. The court case says in the spirit realm, there is a spirit realm now that I realize exists. I did not realize it before. I thought my physical realm, my mind and my actions, I thought I was the king of the hill, the creator of the universe. I thought I was in charge, but I realized I was never in charge. And this higher power says not guilty, and you're free to leave the prison. And my creator's design and construction of how I was supposed to operate from the beginning somehow got messed up early in my life. And I've been downloaded and rebooted into my spirit all the ways in which he wanted me to live from the beginning. And that person for me is my father, my friend, my director. I'm now the co-pilot. I no longer run the plane. I'm not running it. And as I allow my creator to run the ship, to be in charge, and I do that every morning when I pray, I'm flying at a higher and higher altitude, and I'm at the right altitude, which puts me on cruise control, really. And I have to develop more understanding of how this higher power wants me to live through direct communication, through talking to him, through asking him what to do. And how do I believe that that's true? Well, when I did those steps, I developed that trust. Miraculous things began to happen. I could never control my eating my whole life. And automatically, not automatically, but within days or weeks, this miracle of not eating it was happening. And that's how I developed that relationship. The veil's been lifted. I know now that I do not live on my own willpower. My willpower doesn't work. It was a delusion. It was a lie. I thought I had control. The delusion was I never had control. So things should have been much worse than they were in my life. There was actually a higher power even then in the midst of my disease and the destructiveness of my behavior and the things that I did to hurt people. He actually protected me that whole time. And I'm just forever grateful for that. And to maintain my freedom moves on to the next part of these paragraphs. But now I'm free. I'm on the streets, and it feels really good. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Tina W. from New Jersey. All right, I will now take some more names. We are on page 84, the last paragraph, the 10-step promises. Who would like to share?
This is Lauren in Missouri.
I didn't catch either of you.
Ronnie
Serene
and
F.
Veronica, did I hear? Veronica?
It's actually Ronnie.
Ronnie
and Missouri, yes.
Okay, I've got you, Ronnie. And
Serene S. in New Hampshire.
Serene S. in New Hampshire.
K. from Iowa.
K. from Iowa.
Denise
Sarah.
M.
Denise, got you.
Sarah G. from Toronto.
And Sarah, let's stop there. Ronnie, Serene, Kay, Denise, and Sarah. Ronnie, what is the initial of your last name, please? Ronnie, press star 1 to unmute. And everyone else, please mute if you're not Ronnie. Ronnie from Missouri, unmute please. Star 1.
Good morning, everyone. This is Ronnie B. in Missouri, compulsive overeater. So many good shares already. But for me, the first time I heard anyone allude to I'm recovered from, I was so up in arms. I'm in so many 12-step programs. I'm like, I can't be ever recovered. And then I realized the rest of that sentence is, I'm recovered from a hopeless faith of mind and body. Not, I'm cured. And I love that. I'm not cured. But I am recovered from that, from a hopeless state. Certainly from food. Certainly from all my other addictions. But also, I don't have to be hopeless about anything. I remember one day I was in my therapist's office and she said to me, you are powerless. You are not helpless and hopeless. And I'm like, oh, like that just hit me. Like, oh my goodness, I didn't put that together. Because I've heard it said a lot in other programs that if I have an I program, I end up eating. If I have a we program, which means all of you are helping me, I can stay abstinent and hopeful. So I know it applies to my food, but it also, step 12 says, apply all of the principles in all of my affairs. And so yesterday I was feeling hopeless. It's like earlier this week I went to a, you know, a fundraiser for a baby that passed. And like, so that just set the stage, right? And then, you know, came home and I had some luxury problems. The air conditioner in my car stopped working. I'm like, okay, this is fine. Luxury problem. This is fine. I'm doing good. I'm doing well. I'm going to meetings. And then 2 days ago, my fridge freezer broke down. And so I started to feel like, oh my God, like, how much more? And then I realized, stop. You're feeling sorry for yourself. This is not hopeless. I just have to get out there and look for a replacement. And I can pay for it. And I started to see that as a luxury problem. So I'm not hopeless. By the way, it doesn't mean I jumped up and down and said, wow, this is great, luxury problem. I'm not doing that. And because that would be denial. But I do realize that I'm blessed that I'd be able to do this. And I can only do it because all of you help me. So on that note, I'll end. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Ronnie B. from Missouri. Serene S., please share with us. Press star 1, Serene.
Thank you. You know, it's Serene S. from New Hampshire. I'm really aware of, you know, where I am today and in these promises as a result of the steps and the experience that I've had, you know, with God and a new relationship. And until I had done the powerless and I don't stay stuck there because then I came you know, to believe, and then I make a decision. I kind of take that as a theme through everything, but I always ask myself, am I living in these promises or am I living in the bedevilments? And so this week, you know, when we look at this and we cease fighting, we have five people retiring and two resignations at where I work. And so I've really leaned into my self-seeking behavior. When it pops up, I recoil from it as a hot flame. I'm so committed to living in the promises because God has been so graceful and gracious with me as a result of the work that I did with you all, most importantly with God. Because without my relationship with God, and I'll just kind of fast forward, these promises are kind of intellectual. And I used to read these when I was first getting abstinent and sober and Al-Anon, and I wanted just to jump to these, and then I was so disappointed when I wasn't living with happy, joy, and free in the promises after the ninth step. And so, you know, I was being tugboated through the steps, and then I was willing, and all the things that it looks like for each of us as individuals, and, you know, our experience is the same and it's different. And I'll just close with, I have been so needy and wanting attention and to control with people that absolutely needed to go, people that I wish were staying, all of it. But it's not about that. And as a result of being recovered, I can see I'm not interested in the food. I'm only interested in what God has in store for me. But my recovery also can take me. I'm happy for these people, and I know that they have a God. But the promises, I have to every day go, am I living in the promises? And these ninth step promises, after I had completed my amends, they happened much sooner. And that kept pulling me forward because that was just a gift from God. It was just a gift that I saw results. I won't say I saw early results, but I knew God was committed to me. And just this week, I had to reread in the OA 12 and 12 that if I have any negative connotation toward God, I need to let that go. And I wasn't getting something I wanted after, you know, all of this one day at a time and work. I thought, you know what? I'm not in the promises. And I reinvented God again. I mean, I've been in program one day at a time for years. It's so juicy for me, and I appreciate this call so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Serene S. from New Hampshire. Hey, from Ohio, what is the initial of your last name, please?
K. F.
F as in Frank?
Sam.
S as in Sam. Thank you. Go ahead, K.
Okay. Thank you for hearing this meeting, and thanks for everybody sharing. This is such a great meeting. I get so much out of it. This paragraph blows my mind. I mean, this neutrality thing. So when I first came in, I took to it like a duck to water, did everything, got to a normal weight fairly quickly. And then my sponsor left town, and I thought, oh, I can do this with my Al-Anon program. I know enough now. Sort of slid back, as we all know can happen. And very slowly and surely, I just sort of got more relaxed. Or I call it the chatter. The chatter started, and within no time, you know, I was back to up close to my incoming weight. And so I really struggled getting it back. And part of it was I lost the structure. I was working the first time. And now I am retired, and so it's the structure isn't there is what I was finding. Anyway, all I will say is the road back, and I was always seeking that neutrality. Like, I never thought about it that much. I just did it, and I try to get back there, and I don't know if I'm being blown by every wind because the structure's not there, or it's just age or the progression of the disease. The why really doesn't matter. It's just, I keep learning. And this is what I find recovery has been. So I don't fight it. I just own it. It's like, okay, this is what happened. And so, oh, okay, that's whatever you want to call it, a red food now, or that's a behavior you know, that you can't do. What could you do that's more? So anyway, it's a constant learning thing. But I think it's funny because it's one of those people got it right away and the blessings and the neutrality. And that's what I missed is when the chatter starts. And this promise tells me that if I stay in fit spiritual condition, I can have that peace, which is what I loved when I got into Al-Anon. It's the serenity. It's the peace and the not being driven. So anyway, it's just very good to be here. And I thank everybody for your shares. Very helpful. Thanks. That's all.
Well, thank you very much, KS from Iowa. Denise, I did not get your initial nor your state.
M like McDonald, M and North Carolina.
Thank you. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm a relative newbie. Sorry about the beeping. I'm going to turn that alarm off. Anyway, I just want to say that I'm so hopeful about the promises, and I'm turning the alarm off, and the idea that the problem will be removed. And I can't tell you how much hope I'm experiencing listening to everyone share, and I just want to say thank you. And that's it, Denise M. in North Carolina.
Well, thank you very much, Denise M.
Thank you.
Please stick around if you're new and be greeted by our newcomer greeter, Chanel T. Sarah, I did not get your initial nor your state either. Sarah, press star 1 to unmute.
Hello, could you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, hi, it's Sarah G, as in gold, from Toronto, Canada.
Great, please share with us.
Yeah, so I wanted to share that I'm relatively new here, about 6 months, and I'm still hopeful. I haven't seen all the promises yet, but I'm hearing everybody, and I'm very hopeful about it, and something that made me feel like it's coming like any day now. Not that it's not there, but that I'm going to actually see it, is an experience I had recently where I went to visit my family out in the States and they hadn't seen me in about 6 months. And I asked my mentor how I should go about, you know, I loved all the attention and the compliments I was getting on all the weight I lost, and it was so much fun. But really, the program's about developing a relationship with God. It's not about seeking approval from others. So, you know, how do we balance that? We're human. We like when people notice nice things about us. So what gave me hope about seeing the promises very soon is her answer, which was, it's okay to enjoy compliments and attention, but stay humble and realize that it's not you who did it. It's not you who arrived, who figured everything out. It's all 'cause by God's grace, he allowed you to do it. And being a compulsive overeater for so many years, I know that to be 100% true. It's not 'cause all of a sudden I came up with willpower. It's 'cause God gave me the steps I needed to overcome my disease for today, one day at a time. And for that, I'm so eternally grateful, and I'm grateful for this call that was so supportive and continues to be supportive throughout all of our journeys. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Sarah G. from Toronto. We have time for, I think, 2 more shares. Who else would like to share? Jam B. Jam? What was the first name? Jam?
I'm sorry. Pam.
Pam. Pam B?
Correct.
Gotcha. Okay. And I'll take one more.
Stephanie M.
Jackie? Jackie. I got Jackie. That's all we'll have time for. Please go ahead, Pam B, and let us know where you're calling from.
Thank you, Jody, for moderating. My name is Pam B. I'm from California. I'm a compulsive overeater. And back free after a wicked, wicked relapse. And I had food neutrality before. And I don't know. I don't know what I lost first either. I can't tell if it was my a fit spiritual condition was gone, or my or the food. I picked up my alcoholic ingredients and it was gone. It was gone. The freedom that I had enjoyed, and you know, the freedom from the food and the delight of walking with holding my God's hand was absolutely gone. I just want to offer hope for those who are out there in relapse. I'm just so grateful because I am entirely abstinent. I am talking, walking with God, and working the steps with a sponsor. And I got it. I got free again, and I'm so extremely grateful. In fact, I'm freer than I was. I didn't know I could be even freer. So thank you for the meeting, everybody listening and sharing. I pass.
Thank you very much, Pam B. from California. Jackie, please let us know where you're calling from. Jackie H.
Yeah, this is Jackie from North Idaho. Spiritual conditions. So, you know, it's interesting. I thank God, you know, I have food neutrality today. You know, I don't think about the food. I can go places, I can be around things, and it doesn't bother me. I'm not craving it. I'm not craving anymore around the food. Thank God. And but you know, if I do not treat this thing on a daily basis, I can be right back in mental obsession. And that wasn't too long ago for me. You know, I came up on a year, March 5th, I had a year abstinence, and I was actually in the beginning stages of relapse in mental obsession around a specific situation in my life. And, you know, I knew, I was like, wait a minute, I don't feel good. I feel discontented. I feel like I'm in the food, but I'm not in the food, you know. And I was making phone calls and somebody said, yeah, you're in the beginning of relapse, you know. So food wasn't even on my radar yet. But I knew, I was like, I am not at ease. Where is God? Where is God in this? I was in trying to fix control. And in order to stay spiritually fit, I need to connect with my, what I call God, my conception of God, each and every day, which I do every morning, but I also need to do it throughout the day. And that is something I am learning now, is the pause and to ask God for direction and what He'd have me be. And that is how I stay spiritually fit. I'm working all these steps, my nightly 10-step nightly review, all of it. It all needs to be done in order to keep me spiritually fit. That is the only solution that will keep me from the food, even if food is not on my radar at all. That's like the last thing to go. And I've done it enough times after being in here for 15 years to know that I have a physical allergy to certain foods and I cannot eat them. And it took me 15 years to understand that. And it took me 15 years to understand that the solution was actually God. But how do I access that power? I need to work the 12 steps of the program and then give it back so that I can access that power and keep that power line, that cord open each and every day. That's how I do it. I've tried, believe
me, reminder.
Thank you. I have tried in the last 15 years every other way, you know, and it brought me to my knees. And then I came crawling back in here about a year ago. And so grateful to be here. So grateful to be here. But I know, even though I know I cannot have those foods, my alcoholic foods, there is something keeping me from that. And that is my fit spiritual condition, that connection, that access to God.
Fine.
That is it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jackie H. from Idaho. All right, we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Elaine B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Jody. Page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.